Welcome to Wise Words from a Stubborn Man, a podcast strictly based on the outlandish inner workings of my non-conventional brain. For those who don't know me, I am Saha Cool. Hopefully you're not easily offended, but on the other hand, hopefully you are. I'm not the villain of this real-life Negro superhero movie. I'm just a guy with an opinion, so let's get to it. So, for those who don't know me, I am an avid interview watcher. So at least 2 to 3 hours of my day is spent watching interviews and picking up knowledge and coming across so many random gems. So I recently saw a video on YouTube for like the Hollywood Reporter, right? And it had Jon Favreau, Issa Rae, Donald Glover, and Lin-Manuel Miranda, I think. And that is when, you know what I'm saying, they dropped one of the best gems that I've ever heard. I forgot who said it. It was like, let me see, I wrote it down somewhere. They said, in today's society, it's a rush to say whether something is good or bad. And if you don't agree with it, then you're looked at as if you know nothing. So I always encourage people to look into those channels and discuss so they can talk about some good stuff, you feel me? Which is what is going to happen today. I expect nothing but gems to be dropped, thought-provoking conversation, if you will. And in actuality, I am very honored to be in this person's presence right now because I am absolutely sure that we have two very different opinions on a lot of things, but the mindset is definitely similar. So this is a momentous occasion because one, not only is it my first guest, but this is like our first conversation. So I would like to introduce the amazing Kristen Chella.
LOL. Hey.
Did I do it backwards? Or did I do it? Did I do the last name backwards?
No, you did.
I did it right?
It was
right,
lovely.
Cool. Alright, so I kind of want to start off in the simplest form by asking, who are you?
My name is Christian. I am an artist. I am an author, a singer, songwriter, composer of music. I am a poet, spoken word artist. I am a child of God. I am a follower of Christ. I am passionate. And sometimes my passion can be turned into radicalism.
All right.
But nonetheless, I am passionate. I am a firm believer in anything that I say I have conviction in. I stand by it until proven otherwise. If I cannot be proven otherwise, then I'm sticking with what I said I believe.
All right, go crazy. So, first of all, that was definitely poetic. Very, very poetic. That was very crazy. What would you say? Like, are you inspired? Like, who inspires you creatively, and then who inspires you just in general, or is it one and the same?
Everything is one and the same for me. Definitely, my surroundings inspire a lot. The conversations I have with people inspire a lot. The books I read, the movies I watch, the television shows that I watch, the people whom I love, those whom say they love me. And then, like, to just really tie it all together, because he is the end-all, be-all of everything. The Lord inspires a great deal of my life and of everything that I do, everything that I try to take into consideration. Strive, not try. We striving. We ain't trying.
I think off of that. All right. So I've been struggling to name this specific podcast. I came up with the name exactly while you were saying that.
Oh.
I will tell you at the end of this.
Lovely. What the name is. Cool.
Because that was, I was inspired 2 seconds ago. All right. So your, if I am not mistaken, your latest project, Vinyl Love.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had sound effects. This is me imaginary slow clapping. Super fire. I would say my favorite track on there is it Untitled?
Yeah, the first joint with lyrics on it.
Yeah. I mean, the Wax intro was A1 too. Because it reminded me of like the intro for Common, for B.
He called.
Yeah, so that's what that kind of reminded me of. I would say Untitled is definitely that A1 steak sauce.
Thank you.
I was just listening to it earlier.
Oh, lovely. Yeah,
I keep the SoundCloud booming, super booming. So what would you say, all right, for a person who has never heard anything from you before and they like, all right, this is the project I'm going to listen to get acclimated, what would you describe it as to them?
Vinyl Love is very vulnerable. I was incredibly transparent on that LP. It is honest in every way, shape, or form. Vinyl Love is just what it is, love. It is about love. It is about love for oneself, someone else, God. It's a dedication to a whole lot of things and people and occurrences within my space, or that have occurred within my space, really.
I'm like, how did you get into like the framework to like be that vulnerable on music? Because I know it's a very, like, for some odd reason, I think it's kind of like a very difficult thing to like really tap into that, I guess, energy.
Well, art really does imitate life. So when you are genuine in your art, then everything that's going on within you or even just around you will be reflected within that art. And so when I first began to create my own music in 2015, I decided I was going to write what was on my heart, my mind, and my spirit. Like, they were all working together. We weren't going to just pick from one cherry tree. We were going to pick from the whole book.
Okay. I might say go crazy at least 15
to 20 times. I love you.
So, do you have, like, a structured way that you create? Like, is it, like, I know some people, if they're doing music and they have, like, things with courses in it or something with a bridge, they'll write that first and then fill in everything else. Do you just feel the track and then do what comes to you? Or do you have a set way that you approach it?
It literally depends on however I feel. So a lot of the songs of Vinyl Love, Wax sent me the beats.
Okay.
And I would write to them. But then a lot of songs, at least one or two songs in there, was already recorded in my voice memos from a year or two before I released Vinyl Love, because that's how long I have been working on it, with just no production, no real action behind it. So a lot of them joints was stuck in my voice memo, and I had just added onto them when time came to actually release the project. But I'm probably the most unorganized artist. Yeah,
the voice memos, they do it justice. I'm not gonna lie, they definitely do it justice, because it's like voice doing stuff in like a voice memo, like a real, I guess, unorthodox way like that.
Yeah.
It helps with memorization.
Yeah.
Like, it's always like a rough draft of a song or something like that. Yeah, so I definitely, I got voice memos that's of me practicing how I'm talking. Because it took for me a while to get over, like, me hearing my own voice.
True.
In, like, a conversational way.
Yeah.
And then, but I just recorded it and listened to it. So I was desensitized to my own voice.
That's real.
And then we go from there. So I want to do some kind of like fill in the blank things.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you something, and you fill in the blank with whatever comes to you.
Okay.
All right. I want to say five of them.
So just whatever. The first thing that comes to mind.
I mean, yeah. Some okay. of them may be one word. Some of them you may have a whole soliloquy that you go into. You may monologue. You may go absolutely crazy.
Okay.
All right. So the very first one. Happiness is...
Jesus.
When I am alone, I blank the most.
Pray.
Blank is divinity in its physical form.
God, because Jesus was his physical form.
If I could go back to any point in time for 1 hour, I would...
July 14th, 2016.
Okay, we're going to have to ask what that is after.
No, we're not.
We're not? Okay, no, we're just going to go away from that then. We're not even going to. All right. Our biggest strength as millennials is blank, and our biggest weakness is?
Our biggest strength as millennials is radicalism. No, passion. Our biggest weakness is learning the difference between radicalism and passion. Can I just add to that really quickly?
Of course.
I feel as though in our wanting to be passionate, we come off as radical, and in turn, we aren't thinking properly, which means we're not being solution-oriented. We're being problematic, even more problematic than the actual situation, because we're adding to the problem instead of creating and building upon a solution.
Yeah. Any specific areas?
Specifically for me, well, I'm an activist, I suppose, for equal rights. And I think at first I started out protesting and marching and screaming and hollering in police officers' faces like that was going to make a difference, you know. Mm-hmm. And in turn, it became a burden. So now I write it all in a book and I'm going to publish it and let them know. It's what we... That's what we own.
I told somebody the other day I don't have enough money to be an activist.
What does that mean, though? Like, why would you...
Well, it's kind of like this. I don't think I feel comfortable enough yet in my own life to... Like, if I see something wrong, of course I'm going to try my hardest mm-hmm. to be an advocate in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have to pick and choose the moments in which I can be an activist.
True.
Because in order for me to go full activist, I would need, like, a lot of stuff is influenced by, one, by money, and then by time. And the only way I can free up my time is to have multiple revenue streams of money.
Yeah.
So that's why I say I don't have enough money to be an activist.
That's true.
Because I'm still, like, going through the motions and trying to do, ultimately, something that I want to do.
That's very real. Yeah. I was a teenager, so money, the only thing I needed money for was transportation when my mama couldn't, so yeah. You feel
that's
me?
Real.
But that's real, G.
Yeah. And I was, I have this thing about, like, I feel like we, as far as, like, entertainers, mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of entertainers are forced to be activists.
I absolutely agree with that, actually. And it's talked about a lot, actually, now, how we should not feel so pressured to have to be advocates for these different subjects. You feel me? Like, yeah. And people take, and I think because so many people use this Nina Simone quote, oh, well, Nina Simone said... our art should be a reflection of what's going on around us. But I think they take that out of context. Like, mm-hmm. she's not just talking about social injustice. She talked about her mental health a whole lot more than she... Actually, I feel like it was a complete balance. You feel me? She talked about her mental health a lot. She talked about her love life a lot. And she talked about social injustice a lot in her music. And I think when people who are entertainers or artists or whatever... they want to call themselves, I think when they try to dedicate themselves to activism and artistry at the same time, it becomes a complete burden. It took me, I stopped being, like, an in general activist probably about 2 years ago, a year or two ago, because I'm a teenager, I'm young, I'm a young adult. I don't have time to be stressing or worried that some police officer one day gonna bash my head in the ground because I was yelling in his face, or, and it's not doing anything either. It's not stopping anything. It's not bringing anyone back to life. And forgive me if that comment seems so insensitive. However, if we want justice, it's not yelling. It's absolutely not yelling. And I'm not about to keep singing at all these protests for y'all to not actually get anything done. It's not what we're here for.
Protests, every time I see a protest, I think of a specific battle rap bar from Daylight, who was like, he was like, what did we accomplish with the Million Man March? All I saw was a Million Man March. And that, like, that was,
what?
That was hilarious to me. It was just like, he was just saying, like, protests. Like, I've seen a lot of protests in my life. And I don't think I've ever really seen change on that type of level from it. Like I didn't vote, like, of course I didn't vote in this last election. I definitely didn't.
True.
Because it was like, you're either gonna vote for Trump, who is like, I'm not rich enough to vote for Trump, or morally compromised enough to vote for Trump. And then Hillary Clinton, like, her and her husband are specifically the reason that there are a lot of black men in jail, or black people in jail. So
there we go.
It's like voting for an AK or a shotgun. Like, that's...
Yeah. It was a lose-lose. And
then I also didn't vote because in no way, shape, form, or fashion do I feel like any president ever has affected me, like, with what they've done. Like, unemployment, like, I'm not from a big place where unemployment is a super problem. So, I'm not, like, I wasn't affected by gentrification or anything like that. So, true. A lot of things literally didn't affect me enough for me to literally care. But what I did notice was, like, people don't vote for their, like, communities at large, and stuff like that, like aldermen and just the mayor in general.
Yes.
Yeah. So they avoid those elections, and then it's like, choose, they put all of this money behind.
But that, not voting for your, like, community leaders, man, plays a huge role in who your country leader becomes. Because I'm a firm believer, and I have believed this for so long, that presidents are not, as cliche as this sounds, they are not elected. They very well are selected. Yeah. And I believe it plays a huge part in who becomes our country leader by who we choose to be our community leaders. They play a far larger role in the president's election than we do as citizens, as regular people, you feel me? And for example, Rahm Emanuel, mayor of Chicago, this man is greedy, wanting of money only for the things that he wants money for in the city of Chicago.
That's the dude with the super gray hair, right?
Yes.
Looks silver.
Yes.
He looked like a Bond villain.
Of course Trump is gonna, of course. Of course. Yeah. Of course. And I'm not here to badmouth anyone, you feel me? That's not my MO. However, what? Like, come on. Yeah. We've got to do better in our communities before we expect anything in our country to become anything, really. Because this country is boo-boo.
Man, I've recently stated that I don't speak on issues that are affecting Chicago, unless it's like a universal thing.
But why?
Well, I mean, it's because, since I'm not from Chicago, Okay. I have no bearing to speak on what happens in Chicago. I can only educate myself, but I can't.
If you feel as though something is wrong within the city of Chicago, then yes, you can speak up about it, so long as you are educated, yeah, or that's why are even open to be educated about it if you are wrong. Yeah.
What I mean by don't speak on it is, I'm not saying that I won't give my two cents about anything. I'll just never actively go to say, this is what needs to be done in Chicago, because I'm not there, you feel me? Or I feel I've never been there, lived there, to know. Like, the gentrification thing?
Yeah.
I only know about gentrification because of Boys in the Hood.
Really, G?
Yeah. Like, I...
You've, in real life, never experienced it.
Never experienced it.
So, South Shore is in the city of Chicago is currently experiencing gentrification. Bronzeville. All these white people are coming from... All these people who just are not black or minorities, period, are coming from the suburbs, are coming from these outside cities, and really just taking over. And now, and all of our minorities, specifically black people, are moving to the suburbs, and the suburbs aren't even being touched anymore by the state of Illinois because it's
like they're pushing the black people out and pushing the funding and stuff inward.
Exactly, which is why ROM is closing down so many public schools in the city of Chicago. Jesus.
Okay. I get it. That's.
I feel you. I feel you. Yeah. I feel you.
I was going to let you get it off. You feel me? You just going
to. I haven't, like.
You felt it. So I was going to let you. I was going to let you go absolutely crazy with it.
This is just a conversation that I have with my peers often.
Okay.
I could. One of my friends lives in between Bronzeville, the neighborhood Bronzeville, and Hyde Park.
Okay.
You walk over to Bronzeville. Bronzeville is, it was at first called the Black Belt. It's called Bronzeville because that's where all of the black people lived in like the 60s and the 70s and stuff. Mm-hmm. You go over to Bronzeville to your left. It looked like we in the hood. You go to Hyde Park to your right, it looked like it needs to be a part of downtown Chicago, maybe Lincoln Park. You feel me?
I've been to Hyde Park recently.
Right. And it doesn't make why do the two look... Actually, and I'm not from St. Louis, but that's what it reminded me of. I was on Twitter. I saw this picture of a young man who's from St. Louis posted it. And he... What it was the gentrified side of the street. The sidewalks were done. Buildings were pretty. Literally, the square on the sidewalk over, one square over, we back in the hood.
Man.
And that doesn't make any sense to me.
It makes sense to me.
I'm done.
It's just, I don't want to. I always find myself chuckling at the truth because the truth is hilarious irony for me. So, I mean, I understand it. Like, even though I've never experienced gentrification, I've seen attempts of gentrification, but it's not really effective.
I understand what you're saying. Like, you can't really say you've experienced it, but I mean,
I know what it is.
Yeah.
I definitely know what it is.
Yeah.
I've seen plenty of people go through it to know what it is. Like, if you hear someone from, hearing someone from New York and then hearing from someone from Chicago talking, you would damn near think it is, they're going through the same thing. Yeah. Well, I definitely get that. Like, they call, Bed-Stuy something else.
I just saw some Stuyvesant people Park on
or something like that. I was like,
yeah, I just saw some folks on Twitter talking about that because a white lady moved to Bed-Stuy and she thought it was not what it was with the residents who stayed there. She thought it wasn't predominantly black.
Yeah.
The landlord must have told her something different. Baby girl said she felt unsafe, literally. Because of the residents of the community. Like, I would have fought her. And this is what I'm by radicalism and passion. Because now I'm in a radical state of mind.
I mean, I don't think you're radical. Yeah, you don't got a box cutter or nothing like that. You ain't out here with the blicky going super ham. I mean, you can walk as freely as you like, sir. Yeah. This is.
Yeah.
I made sure I adjusted these to where they don't pick up past a certain distance.
True.
You feel me? That's how raw I am.
Very.
So, let me see.
That music is lovely.
It is. So, I wanted to also talk about your feelings on mental health. Now, I definitely think that this is something that we both kind of, we have similar mindsets on. Because I'm an advocate for mental wellness. Mm-hmm. Actually, I like to call it mental wellness. I actually don't like saying mental health.
Yeah.
It's just wellness. Because mental health.
Sounds like you're talking down or degrading it. Mm-hmm. I feel you. It sounds unhealthy already.
Yeah. So I'd be like, I'm all about mental wellness. Or just wellness in general. Especially, like, I mean, of course, my focus is more so, like, I care about everyone's mental wellness, but the stuff that I focus on more so is for black men, because just one, because that's the demographic that I fall in, is black men, and then usually, if I can find something that works for me, I can suggest it to someone else. So, what are your thoughts on mental wellness?
I think internal wealth is extremely important. It's not something that comes quickly. It is a roller coaster. I think in order for us to even get to a place of internal wealth, we of course have to go, or what seems like the bad parts of internal wealth, we have to go through some type of storm. Or mini storms, you feel me? And actually, someone on Twitter today posted, and this is, it caught me because I'm a survivor of suicide. So when this person said this, he said, suicide is the ultimate sin, and it's extremely selfish, judge me. So I said, and I'm a believer in Christ, so first of all, right, what you're not going to do is bring your foolishness and blame it on the God that you say you serve, because no.
Yeah.
So I told him, I said, well, first of all, no sin is greater than any other one. All sin is equal. That's that. Second of all, you're extremely insensitive for this tweet, which is actually another misrepresentation of who God says he is. So I need you to try again. And I think that while not all of us feel like we can get through it, that's perfectly fine. However, I highly encourage suicide to not be a resort. Not a first one, second, or the last one. I just highly encourage anyone to, if they feel like they need to speak to anybody, or if they even feel like nobody's listening, write it on a sheet of paper and burn that junk. You feel me? Like, let's find self-care practices that will uplift and encourage us to do better by ourselves first, and then let's try to go out into the world. But if you need to take time for yourself, do that. Like, all the time in the world, however long that takes. However long your self-care takes for you to get yourself together, do that. You don't have to a place like, if you have to, go to a place where you don't have to answer to anyone, absolutely no one, except for yourself. Always, I will encourage for us to always listen to our spirits. Like, our flesh can be very damaging, especially in moments where we are our weakest mentally. Mm-hmm. You feel me? And if we feel as though, like, we just absolutely cannot get through it, I go away.
Right.
Like, go away. And I don't mean, like, suicide go away, just to be as blunt as I can be. I mean, turn off your phone, cut off all electronics, actually. Delete social media accounts and leave. Go sit under somebody's tree. Go walk in somebody's grass barefooted. Go dip your whole naked body in somebody's pond. Go play with the ducks. Go sing with the birds. Go buzz with the bees and the flies. Go blossom with the flowers. I mean that. And I know those types of things don't work for everyone. And I know a lot of, like, therapy sessions work better for people. I know pills or a medication work better for people. Mm-hmm. And so whatever works for you as an individual, I encourage that. I think mental health is, as much as people like to talk about it and give all this advice, it's not, they don't take it for themselves. Oh, go check on your strong friend. You're not even checking on your strong friend. Yeah. Stop.
I mean, I see that a lot of like when people be like, check on your strong friend. I be one that's.
Are you like, checking? I'm a are friend. You we not, right. Now? Are you
doing this for the tweets?
Exactly.
Or the retweets. Are you doing this for the retweets like, and the likes?
We not. We're really not out here preaching what we practicing. That's not what we finna be doing. We need to be. If you gonna tell me to check on my strong friend, go check on your strong friend. What if you are actually? What if you are the strong friend? You feel me? Are you checking for yourself? And the book I just published, and one of it, the poems is entitled Q&A, From Me to You for Us. And it's literally a long list of questions. Have you allowed yourself to drink from the cup that Jesus, I forgot what it said, but it basically, don't laugh at me, Sahi. Okay. Basically, you feel me? Basically, what the whole poem says, all these questions are literally about us checking in on ourselves as much as we've been checking in on others. Because I know for a fact that I am that strong friend. However, I will say we are not always the strong friend. All of our friends in our friend group can be the strong friend, literally. We all just have our moments of, not today. Or, hey, I'm here for all of y'all. Yeah. You feel me? We all have those opportunities to be the strong friend in our friend groups. Mm-hmm. And
I understand. I used to have those days. Like, I had to learn.
No, like, I'm going to tweet that.
A few. I had to learn a few different things. Like on any given day. One thing that I've noticed with social media is that I kind of have to make my own timeline, I guess. Yeah. So I always tend to, like, there might be a day where on my entire page is retweets of jokes and things that I just deem funny. But then there are also some days where I literally and openly go out of my way to, like, encourage somebody else.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
That's important.
This is, I feel like, is definitely needed.
It is. So many people, just the other day, and, you know, I feel like, first of all, our conversations are leading back to social media, and just the other day, this young man had tweeted that last Friday he attempted suicide, but he failed. And I had to tell him, I said, look, man, I'm glad you failed. I am grateful for your life. And he started talking about wanting to live more in optimism. And I told him, you will succeed in your optimism. Like, you know, we don't have enough encouragement and uplifting in the world. We have so much judgment and so much opinion and so much, well, this is what my experience is. Your experience is never going to be the same as someone else's. Like, yeah. Who cares what you went through? Now this is someone else going through.
People speak like their truths are absolute. Like it's
the
definitive thing.
And when I say that no one's experience will like ever be similar, I'm absolutely not saying that. I'm a firm believer still that, like, even though I went through, for example, homelessness, now I can go minister to another homeless individual. However, what worked for me in my experience may not work for them. So let me just speak in general, though. Let me just let them know, well, this is on surface. Let me, and even if sharing my experience might be encouraging, like, God doesn't bless us for ourselves. You feel me?
Yeah.
My mother tells me that all the time. Like, God does not bless us for ourselves. He blesses us for someone else. Our experiences are never really our own. However, the actual, like, detail and occurrences within that experience may not be the same as someone else's. We are simply to use that experience to uplift and encourage if we understand if that, like, that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. I have a lot on my mind about everything that's going to take us into so many more different topics, and I feel like I'm going to just hold it up and I'm just...
Well, I mean, look, here's the thing. I ran out of questions a minute ago, so we've been winging it for about 7 minutes.
That's love, G. Yeah. I ain't even gonna hold you.
Because I didn't, as I was writing the outline for this, I kind of knew certain things that I wanted to touch on. But then it's more so, I don't want to feel like I'm interviewing you. I want to actually have a conversation. Yeah. So I also wanted to, one thing that I didn't get with two, and I guess we can do that next, is artistry amongst women in society.
It is the most sexualized thing I have ever witnessed and gone through. When I first began, I feel as though I received the utmost respect from both men and women. Yeah. You know, this one individual wanted to put me on his song, and he had the B word in it. And I said, well, you want to put me on that song? You got to change that. He changed it, right? Mm-hmm. Further along in the career, for example, was working with a photographer. This man was texting me about, I was texting him about business. And he waited to respond late in the evening, Saha, like late in the evening, my friend. And this man started to talk about his genitalia. And I said, sir, this is not what I contacted you about. Then Saha, another photographer. Then Saha, producers. Then Saha, rappers. Yeah. Then Saha, other singers. Man, I really love your voice. You seem so beautiful inside and out. Blah, blah, blah. Wow, thank you so much for this compliment. Yeah, you know, I really would like to get to know you. No, you don't want to get to know me. You want to do music with me. Saha, oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. Dude, some dude I grew up with, G. Great drummer, right? Amazing drummer. And if he listens to this, he gonna know I'm talking about him. But ask me if I care, because I don't. This man, right, hit me. Hit me up on Twitter, because we don't have each other's numbers. For a reason. I still haven't saved his number that he gave to me, because he wanted us to build off of sexual energy. Nigga, I feel nothing for you. Nothing. We can't build off of something that's non-existent. You feel me? It is so disgusting. But then it's also the most empowering, because we go through all these different things. We can talk about our experiences. We can uplift and encourage one another, be there for one another. Like, it's a bundle of different emotions and experiences as a woman being in the art scene. I don't care where you are in this world, being a part of the artist community. You are, it's one big, huge, quote-unquote, family. Literally, everyone knows everyone. It's so small. It is so small. I'm in Chicago. While my Chicago homies know my New York homies, my New York homies know my Cali homies. My Cali homies know my niggas in North Carolina. North Carolina niggas know the niggas in Houston. It is so small. I feel like, if you honestly don't go to another country, you're probably not going to get, and now I'm just speaking as an artist in general, you probably won't get much. Like, I used a lot of things when I first began as stepping stones. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when artists don't know when their stepping stone has ended, then they begin to feel like, I'm not getting supported how I want to be or how I feel like I should be. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not where I think I need to be. I'm my resources running out. Ain't no resources. Don't nobody want to work with me. And that's not to invalidate anyone's experiences or emotions. However, we need to understand and know when it's time to move and move. Yeah. You feel me? Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know when it's time to move. A lot of people love stagnant behavior. They love being stagnant.
Yeah. Yeah. That is very, very, very true. I actually just had a kind of like an epiphany not too long ago. Mm. I love when I have these random like epiphanies and stuff like that. I was talking to my homie about being afraid of like notoriety. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's like one of my creative fears, is to be popularized or be a trend, or like have my opinions be a trend, which is why I stopped talking for a little while. Like, I stopped tweeting and saying stuff on the internet, just because I was just like, I don't want someone to catch wind
yeah.
of what I'm saying and then make it a thing.
But why? I know people like to say social media isn't real life, but it's very much so real life. These are my yeah. thoughts, my feelings, my emotions. Like, it's very yeah. real, and I hope you see it. If well, I'm I mean, if I'm subtweeting any, well, I don't subtweet, but like if I yeah. I tweet a lot about like occurrences in my life. So say for example, I got my heart broken. I'm gonna tweet about my heart being broken if I wanted to, right? Yeah. And I hope the person who broke my heart sees it. Feel bad? No, don't feel bad. Don't do that. No, don't feel bad. But I a lot of my tweets come from like occurrences, and I want people to see them. Like you should want to be noticed. You should want people to feel you. There is a gang of people out there who feel exactly how you feel, G.
Man.
Literally.
Well, see, me personally, I genuinely, like, I enjoy my solitude.
Likewise.
Like, I would much rather kick it with myself than kick it with somebody else.
G. Yeah.
And I just got into a kind of, like, an argument with a woman not an argument because I didn't put energy into it, so she was arguing with herself.
Yeah,
so it was her, like, I had to tell her straight up that I'm like 8 times out of 7 I will turn down kicking it with you because I don't want to leave the crib. And it's not you, like, well, it's somewhat you. Because your presence doesn't
do much.
Yeah, it doesn't do much.
It doesn't
to make
add
me,
on.
Yeah, it doesn't make me feel like, oh, I should leave the crib for this.
Dang. And I know that it was heartbreaking for her to probably hear, which is why she probably teed up on you. However, you were honest at least.
I wouldn't even know if she teed up on me. Because like, when I say I don't really give the energy back to it, like, hilariously enough, people who follow, like, Zodiacs, right? And they say, like, this one girl was like, you're a Pisces, and then gave this whole list of things, right? And I was literally none of those things. She's like, you shy, you emotional, and I'm a very extrovert person, and people say that I lack emotion. So, if it's, you know what I'm saying?
She's into astrology.
Well, a lot of women are into astrology, which is... I mean, I don't really...
Foolish.
It's super foolish. I don't really follow it too much. I know my zodiac, but...
That's it. I was born in October. I'm a Libra.
Man, you feel me? So it's like, I see certain traits among certain people that I'd be like, I'll entertain it sometimes as a joke, but I don't take it too serious. So when it comes to just me and my solitude and then notoriety, like... I used to, when I was naive, when I looked at stuff, I used to want to be like, man, having fame and stuff would be nice and stuff like that. But then the more I realized, like, I enjoy my privacy. Like, I enjoy people not knowing what I'm doing. Because growing up, every time I used to, like, go outside or go play or something, like, I have siblings and brothers, and my mother and my father would be like, what you doing? Where you about to go? Which is why, like, my pet peeve is a lot of questions. Like, if somebody asks me questions in a row, like, if they start off with a question and then ask another question, I will genuinely get annoyed, even if it's good questions.
Dang, geez.
Which is why I was like, I don't want to be interviewed or something like that.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, like, talking to me,
engaging in actual conversation.
Actual conversation. Asking me questions annoys the hell out of me. Like, so when it comes to that notoriety, I literally just don't like... Ironically, Pusha T was talking about... He was like... I forgot if it was Big Boy's Neighborhood or if it was L.A. Leakers. But he was like... If somebody leaves a CD on my car when we get out of church, I switch churches. And he's like, I don't like people talking to my mother. I don't like people talking to my father. Which puts into context why he responded to Drake the way he did. And I felt it on a when they be like, when he said this, I felt that on like that level. Like of that, I don't like being bothered with
other
stuff. Like I don't, because people think like people people think that you can only physically invade somebody's person's space.
Yeah. Oh.
But sometimes you can mentally.
Let's talk about invasion of space.
You can mentally and vocally invade somebody's space as well. So, yeah, that's why.
That is such. Now that is a great conversation to have.
People invading space.
Saha, man. There was a friend of mine who. I'm not gonna say I unfriended this individual. I'm just gonna say I took myself back, right? Okay. Who was not doing anything for me internally, but more so just materialistically and always wanting to be around me and always wanting to talk, even when I was in my bedroom, wanted to sit on the phone, man, wanted to just like talk, and about nothing though. I don't mind silence. When I say this person, literal definition of silence, like it was, I don't know, I'm actually not explaining this very well. However, yes, I had to take myself back from an invasion of my space because I am that patient. I don't, if you need to be in my space because you feel like I have something to offer you, come, take it. I do not mind. If you don't have it to give back, that's perfectly fine with me. However, let us not take advantage, you feel me? However, let's not get comfortable. I'm definitely not here for anyone's comfortability. I can be here for comfort. But once you get comfortable enough to keep coming back and coming back and coming back and offer nothing to the table, you bring nothing, stay where you are. I will love you from a distance, I promise.
Man.
Like, accepting people into your space, whether physically, tangibly, or intangibly, causes for a lot of patience. And if you don't have that, then yes, I totally understand where Pusha is coming from.
Man. I think I have very good patience, but I also think that I am very blunt, too. Mm. Like, I'm very honest. So it's like, I can be patient and be brutally honest and not know. And somebody will take it as impatience.
Yeah.
But in my eyes, I'm literally just being as patient as possible. Like, I'm unfazed. Like, if I say something, and I kind of, like, I think I learned this in a societally backwards way. Like, my mother kind of taught me the ruggedness of a lot of things. Yeah. And then my pops taught me the emotional spectrum of most things. So, whenever, recently I've just decided a lot of the time I'm just not going to speak because it's like a shotgun if I do, that I don't even know I have.
Yeah.
Especially in this, I guess, era of things. And people are the utmost sensitive, in my opinion, to where it's like, if I disagree with you, you feel the need to explain it to me again. Or something like that. Like, yeah. When people do that, it's like, oh, I disagree. And then they repeat everything that they just said. I didn't say I didn't understand. I just said I disagree.
Yeah.
So people think that it's one and the same. So when it comes to this thing about space, like, I have a few homies who, they do things for someone that I'll never see myself doing. But someone else will look at it and be like, you're less of a person than them for, like, I don't willingly inconvenience myself all the time. Like, there's some people who find some type of solace and inconvenience in themselves.
What do you mean by being able to be inconvenienced?
Like, I can't give someone the same advice twice.
Okay.
That is just something that I don't. After the first time, it's an inconvenience to me to give you the same thing twice.
Well, how is that an inconvenience?
Well, for me,
I understand being repetitive can be quite annoying.
Yeah, that repetitiveness is an inconvenience to me because I could be doing nothing with my time. I can be wasting my time with myself than wasting my time with you, which is in my hierarchy more important.
That is so harsh.
It is.
Oh my gosh, that's harsh. That's a harsh way of thinking. I think we should, in your words, inconvenience ourselves for other people quite often.
I only do that.
I mean, granted, there are only there's.
But if you choose to do it, would it really be an inconvenience?
Perhaps. That's for example, is just like I'm on my way to the studio.
Okay.
One of my homies stopped by and say they need to talk. And so I talk with them. I ain't gotta be at the studio for another 2 hours, so it's fine, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not knowing how long this conversation gonna go. And we talking. 2 hours come and go. It was an inconvenience, but it was an inconvenience that I was willing to take on because my homie needed to talk to me. So I could just postpone the studio another time anyway, you feel me? Or whatever. In your words, wasting time on myself, I could do it on any given day.
Man. But that seemed like the importance was more there. I mean, it's kind of like a thin line between it, but it's like, if I genuinely feel like someone needs my time, I'll be there for them every time. Because it's not an inconvenience to feel needed.
Okay.
But if it's something that's like, you don't even recognize that you're being selfish, and you're going to do the opposite of whatever I tell you anyway.
Okay, wait, pause. Now the way you're explaining this, we just had two different meanings of an inconvenience. Okay.
Mid.
All right. I feel you.
I mean, that's another thing, too. I see things very black and white sometimes.
Hmm.
To where if, like, my gray area, well, someone's gray area might be my, like, this is black to me. Or this is this to me.
Mm-hmm. Which, I don't know.
Various conversations and various things expands my perspective. So, on a day-to-day basis, I definitely think my perspective is expanded. But I also think that I fall into, like, things become clearer, too, as my perspective is expanded.
As they should.
Yeah.
But everything is not black and white.
I know, not everything is black and white. I see more. I have less of a gray area than most people.
Okay.
Yeah. So I do have a gray area.
All right.
But mine is just like, sometimes when people see a gray area, I'm like, there's a definitive thing with me. Which is why, like I said, I choose to not speak on certain things. Because it's like most people, like when I listen to, likewise, I really watch a lot of interviews and panels and roundtables and stuff like that. And me knowing that a person can talk for 2 minutes and sound like the dumbest damn person in the world, but if they get like a full 3 hours to explain 2 minutes of what they were saying, it will start to make sense.
Oh, not all the time.
Yeah, no, I mean, not all the time, but...
Oh, the first thing I thought about was Kanye's... comment about slavery. Jesus Christ.
As I watch that thing, I mean, most people are... I disagree with most people for what he was saying.
Saha, don't stress me out, man.
I'm not going to stress you out. I don't think I will.
Don't stress me out.
But I think people...
misinterpreted. Misunderstood. No, I mean, misunderstood what that man said. He said what he said flat out. Straight out.
He definitely said what he said. But don't people also... took it and ran with it. Like,
you stressing me out, Saha.
Like what he said.
You stressing me
out.
Did
he really say slavery was a choice?
Yes. Because
I vividly watched it and watched him say after 400 years. There was a literal after 400 years. Oh, my God. Years.
First of all, we weren't even enslaved for 400 years. So guess who's uneducated about slavery? Exactly. Jesus.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying. That's exactly.
You stressing me out, man.
You know.
You stressing me out, son, huh? That's what you're doing.
I mean, I get it. I definitely get it. But he just wasn't educated in that moment.
In that moment? How about ever? Kanye just be opening up his mouth.
Exactly.
And you gonna sit here and just be cool about it?
What I'm saying is, can I condemn him for being wrong and not educated?
No, but you can condemn him for, not even condemn, you can hold him accountable for speaking upon something that he's uneducated in.
And, like, did he not admit that he was wrong?
When?
There are, like, a bevy of interviews of him literally saying, like...
He did that because of Kim. She probably told him to do that.
See, that's the thing about that, too. Like, he can't even genuinely say it without someone thinking that it's something else. So we're going to harbor on it for a while because we don't genuinely believe that he felt remorseful. Hell, even when he was in that full TMZ interview, he looked like he felt remorseful when he was talking, like, when he got held accountable about, what's the homie name? Van? Something? I forgot what exactly was. But when he got held accountable by the very black man who was there and the black woman too, because I don't know her name. But when they both kind of held him accountable
right there.
Did you not see that?
Yes, and I saw him basically tell dude, stop it because you're going to make us look. Okay, Saha.
I feel you. It just seems like it's one misstep and then. It's forever.
Well, no. My thing is, Kanye has had plenty missteps.
Man.
But also, I stopped listening to him after 808, I think. And that was a spiritual choice for me to just not give mainstream music too much of my attention anymore.
Yeah.
But it's not like I didn't keep up with who at one point was my favorite artist on social media, because of course they're accessible that way. Mm. And this man he just be talking out the side of his neck. No, thank you. No, not at all.
Yeah.
But I hear you.
Hey, as long as we there. As long as we there, I'm okay with that. Because we don't have to agree to respect it. That's why.
Very true.
Yeah. I still streamed it aggressively.
My eyes are rolling to the back of my head.
I feel you. I mean, most of the time I can separate the artist from the art unless they do something utterly egregious. And then that's when I make the choice that I just can't. So.
I hear you.
Yeah. Because some people would be like, oh, I canceled such and such.
I don't be canceling artists, you feel me? I wish bad upon no one. Like, prosper, succeed, do all that you need to do for yourself and everything that you're working toward. However, I will not be giving my time and my energy any longer. That's just that. I don't be wishing bad upon nobody. No, canceling, that's not my MO. Like,
where do you draw the line on when you stop putting your energy into stuff?
It depends on a lot of things. So, for example, a lot of when I decided to not listen to mainstream music anymore, a lot of mainstream music, it was coming out talking about just a multitude of things that I know humans struggle with our flesh. And as a believer in Christ, you feel me, I just didn't want to, like, I don't want to fall victim to my flesh time and time again because, and I know I'm weak in my flesh. For example, lust. If we know we're weak when it comes to lust, why go to a strip club? You feel me? Or we're in a relationship and we know we're weak to our flesh when we see someone who is attractive. Why am I going to, that person asked me to come over, why am I finna do that? I got a whole boyfriend. I'm definitely not finna try to jeopardize that in any way, shape, or form. We can meet in public or I can invite my boyfriend, whatever you feel is best, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
We know we wanna stop smoking weed, right? But all the homies invited me over and I know they finna be passing around in the car. We finna hotbox. Why am I finna smoke weed? Or, I'm trying to stop drinking. Why go to a wine tasting? What? You feel me? Like, so, I knew there was just a lot of things in mainstream music at that time, which was like 2-3 years ago. At that time, mainstream music was talking about so much that I just didn't want it aimed within my space at all. Like, I was doing a cleanse of my space. And for me, that meant being mindful and becoming vigilant of the music I listened to, the books I read, the shows on television, movies I watched, and things like that. And so I suppose, like, drawing the line at when I stop listening to an artist is, are they offering me anything that benefits me? Do I feel good anywhere beneath the surface? Or do I just feel fleshy all the time listening? Like, for example, Tank's album, his last album, Savage. I'm not finna listen to that album more than the first time that I listened to it, because the whole thing is about sex. Yeah. I'm abstinent. Why I'm finna listen to something that's provoking and evoking sexual emotion? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't desire to be horny or sexually aroused in any way, shape, or form. So why I'm finna go listen to it? You feel me? So if I'm trying to grow spiritually for myself and mentally, I'm going to go listen to Mama Badu or Kirk Franklin, Donald Lawrence, Jill Scott, Robert Glasper, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. We listening to music that evokes spirit. And if I feel like the artist is just toxic as an individual and they're lying in their music, for example, I could name an artist right now, but that wouldn't be my place to do. However, there is an artist who is widely known, and a friend of mine went to go open up his show, and my friend came back, and he told me that another one of our female friends went with him, and he came back and told me, yeah, so such and such was sexually harassing such and such. I'm like, whoa, really? His music doesn't sound like that, though. Like, and who am I to invalidate her experience? I'm no one. So when my friend told me that that's what happened to our female friend, I cut homeboy's music out of my playlist. Like, no, thank you. And not just for the simple fact that this young lady is close to me, but also just for the mere fact that you're not even promoting. You aren't the individual that you're promoting in your music. I have an issue with that. So I guess in turn, I definitely do know how to separate the artist from the art, but I also know how to not do that. Like, and that's why I strive to be so vulnerable and transparent in my music, because you're going to get all of me, the honest me, the truth. You getting the whole bulk of everything. I'm not about to be playing these games of, well, this is what I want the world to know me as. But behind closed doors, I'm something else. I have a quote, actually. If you are not who you are behind closed doors, when you are from behind those closed doors, you need to go back behind those closed doors and start over. Yeah. 'Cause, yeah, that's just, there's no what you're doing. Nah.
I've never listened to a Tank album in my life.
Really, G? I ain't gonna hold you. Tank is tight. Cold as all get out. It's just, the man talks about sex and everything.
Yeah. It's just, like, listening to him never, like, made me want to replay it.
Tank said, we're all just some church kids doing a little R&B every now and again. I'm a firm believer that Tank needs to go and sing him a gospel album. Then it will reach the people it needs to reach. You feel me? Mm-hmm. But Tank is also very sexual. His shorty is a red bone and she bad. And they got like, what, 2-3 kids?
Yeah.
Which is understandable. Tank is very well built in body. Like, he's an attractive man. His shorty is attractive.
His shorty is a very nasty woman.
Very nasty. She's a dancer too, so there we go.
She be out here chasing taints. She be out here living that life.
What?
Yeah, man, Tank is out here living dirty out there in these streets like that.
I had no idea.
Mind blown.
No, I'm too innocent. That's not it. Why are you tell? That's not it. That's not it.
I do it. Hey, look, I do apologize for dropping that bomb on you, man. I had to.
Traumatized.
Someone else needed to hear it.
How did you find out? Jeez.
I was watching a Breakfast Club interview with Tank. And he was like, adamant about it. And I was like, damn, bro. Damn, bro, you living life out here a little more freely than the average person.
Than the average man.
So, what is, like, what's the latest album that you've listened to? What can we find in your discography, your recent discography?
For myself? Or just artists just that I'm listening to?
What do you just listen to?
I am currently listening to, so it's not an album, but my favorite song right now is entitled When Sunday Comes by Daryl Coley and Tri-City. Tri-City was a choir under Donald Lawrence in the 90s. And Daryl Coley was one of the greatest gospel singers ever, Lord rest his soul. He passed away 2 years ago. Okay. And then another one of my favorite albums, because I just caught on this year, because when he first released it, my heart was broke. I wasn't finna give it my time or energy because I knew what it was gonna sound like. But I was so shocked when I actually decided to listen this year. Is Frugian by Daniel Caesar.
Daniel Caesar, okay.
Homie's transitions are tight.
Yeah, except for that one song where he got the super long pause.
It's the last song. Yeah. I said, wait a minute. And I thought the song was over until it surprised me. And I was washing dishes, so I didn't even touch my phone. Then it happened again. I'm like, I thought it was over.
Yeah.
I'm also listening to The Boy Who Cried Freedom by Jacob Banks. I love this man. He is Nigerian, but born in the UK, I believe. And this man is tight. Cold. Tight. Cold as all get out. And just to give this one a shout out, because he just released it two nights ago, De La Cream 2 by my homie FemDot.
FemDot. I have to listen to that.
His transitions? Oh.
I've only heard one FemDot track in my life.
Oh, wait. Can I play my favorite one for you?
We can play it after this.
We
can definitely play it after this.
Wait, which one was that? Just so I know it's not the same one.
I don't know the name of it. I've been wanting to listen to it. The thing about this is, I listen to so much music that, like, when it comes to, like, when you said you made the choice to not listen to mainstream stuff,
mm-hmm.
I listen to so much music that me kind of getting to mainstream music, it takes a long time, like, for me to even get to it, because since streaming and all of that happened, like, I feel like since we don't have A&Rs anymore, well, there might be some out there, but since we...
There are a lot of A&Rs, actually.
Yeah, well, since it doesn't really matter who puts who on,
because
the internet breaks majority of the people, except for the industry plants. I discover, like, a lot of music, like Daniel Caesar. I was like, if people really go back and look at my playlist from that I dropped a while ago, they will see virtually every person that's quote unquote popping right now.
Yeah,
in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Like her, I was listening to her last year.
Gabby Wilson, guys.
Crazy.
Her is Gabby Wilson. We found her out. She's. Yeah.
And I was listening. I'm like, damn, this is super fire.
She cold.
Yeah.
She got a lot of depth. You look at her and you don't see what her voice sound like.
I was trying to put somebody on, was it Losing? Off of Volume 2? Yeah, it was Losing. And then her, like, vocal range on that song specifically was like...
Her bottom? Oh my gosh. I wish.
Like, she went super crazy. I was like, damn, she... Phenomenal. But yeah, I'm definitely gonna download this project just because I see, and like on my timeline, I see a lot of, like, first of all, it's a few like musical pages of that just follow me. Like, it's a lot of verified people that have been following me lately. I wanna shout y'all out. I don't know what y'all see or how it came across. But I used to think it was like bait to be like, all right, if I follow you back, you're gonna unfollow me. But they have, like, stayed.
True.
Like, this is
that's lovely.
And I was like, damn, I didn't know. Whoever you guys are, shout out to y'all.
Whoever you are, thanks. Yeah,
whoever you are, shout out to you. It's like DJs and all of that. So I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, go crazy. Hopefully y'all listen to the music when I drop it, so that it can be there too. So but I just came across a lot of like music pages, and like I discovered, like, I used to want to be an A&R. I used to want to be a lot of things in life. I wanted to be a police sniper first. Don't know why.
I wanted to be a police officer.
I specifically wanted to be a sniper. Like, that's a real, like...
cynical. like,
it's in the time capsule and everything. Like, I was wilding for whatever reason.
That is so...
I don't know. I think it's because I played a lot of Siphon Filter growing up. I was like, true. I could probably go crazy on that. But then I wanted to be an A&R just because I definitely feel like I have a good ear for music. Like, I have... a bevy of playlists for every type of situation, because I just feel like music is for all types of situations. Like, I can never say something is definitively trash. I always have to add, like, to me at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, that's trash to me, or I ain't really rocking with it.
A lot of, like, are you speaking of underground music being
mainstream
trash?
Mainstream and underground music.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know how I'm so selective in the music I listen to. I know I try my hardest to support friends and peers, right? But also, I listen to a lot of old music because I feel like nothing of the now really does much for anybody. Everything really does truly, honestly sound the same. Yeah. But aside from that...
I think...
Oh, okay.
It's all good. I forgot to text you, but we're in the midst of recording. No, you straight.
Oh. You know, I feel like I don't know how I'm so selective in the music I choose, but yeah. I haven't heard any trash music recently, so I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. Well, see, me personally, I definitely, it always perplexes me, but I think it's because I avidly search for a lot of stuff, and then...
Because
I really, like, when people said, like, when you just said that music, like, a lot of it sounds the same, literally nothing that I've discovered has sounded the same.
Really, G? Well, when I say things sound the same, I feel like everybody...
Like, subject matter-wise?
Yeah, like, everybody's trying to touch base on... you. Like, these... all of genres. You have trap music. It sound like they be trapping. But, I don't know, I feel like the only, like... and maybe because it's Keith, but Chief, you feel me? Chief Keef, he is the only trap artist I'll probably ever give my energy to. I ain't even gonna hold you. Yeah. Probably because it's him, you feel me? He and from the same city, from the same side of the city, have walked down the same streets. I think we even lived in the same neighborhood, if I'm not mistaken. I listen to her too. But I won't even classify his music as trap.
Yeah.
I listen to Dirk too, but I wouldn't classify... well, I listen to old Dirk.
So what about, like T-Grizzly? Yeah, your name?
I have only heard of his name because of Twitter.
Okay.
I have never given this man a listen a day in my life. it's not on purpose, I promise. It's just, it don't be catching my eye. Like, my favorite artists, G, are people I know.
Okay.
Like, my favorite rappers are, Femi is one of them, Asar, Josie.
Everybody's.
I'm not sure what to call Ro. He's not a rapper or a singer.
Like a,
he do what feels good, and I dig it. My favorite singers, G, my homie, Aleph, Sakaira, Kalia, Frenchika. Another one of my favorite rappers, Armani Desoul. I rock with Brittany Carter. I rock heavily with Sis Shaw.
I seen a freestyle that she did, Brittany Carter over Brackets.
Yeah, shorty tight. She cold. I ain't even gonna hold you, G.
That was super
My other favorite rapper is my homegirl, Gabe. She's not from Chicago. She's from North Carolina. However, shorty is tight. Like, all of my favorite artists, G, are people I know. And not because I know them, but because they genuinely give great music. Like,
super duper talented.
And I
feel like when you see, like, I'll take Josie for example. I never knew Josie when he was trash.
I don't even think that man, he's never been trash.
I mean, it's people that have been listening to him long enough to know that it's true.
Well, no, that his flow has changed. I've heard that. However, like, and you know what, just really quickly, shout out to Josie because I love him. Gee, I am so in love with this man. I love him so much. He deserves all the love in the world. He deserves everything he's working hard for, G. That was just a quick little shout out. I love that man. But nah.
Hey, ugly folks.
Ugly folks, true enough. Ugly folks. But he's deserving.
Yeah, you give me hope that ugly can prosper out in these streets. Well, yeah, nah. And we have to. He has to find a way to get me another skit on his tape, so I can live that life. I need that for the culture. But just when you see how somebody progresses. Musically, creatively.
Yeah.
I don't even like to say musically anymore because I just like to say overall creatively.
Yeah, because we...
somebody blossom creatively. It's super A1. Just like... And then that's how they really become your friends because you see it goes past... It's like the personal connection with them strengthens you noticing... how creatively better they've gotten.
Yeah.
Because it's like a very platonic appreciation for it. So, I definitely understand that.
I think, and that's probably also why my favorite artists are my homies, because I know them personally. And we have these super extensive and personal conversations about what's going on in our spaces.
Yeah.
And I know that they're jotting it down in their music. I know that it's being presented to the world genuinely, authentically, and organically. You feel me? And there are no gimmicks. Nothing's fixated. Nothing's fake.
Yep.
Like, I know it's genuine. And it just... I don't know. There's a force within me that just says, go support. Because, yeah, you know, like, I get super hyped. Like, I get just extremely excited when any of my homies drop music, G. Like,
okay.
Wow. Wow. My favorite producers, all my homies. All my homies.
So, because I want to, I'm going to, I guess we're gonna dial it down right there. Because I feel like this might be a great stopping point. Because
True.
This is definitely going to happen again. Because I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation.
Likewise. Thank you for having me. And I'm your first guest.
Yeah, you're going crazy. Do you have anything coming up in July? Because I would say anything coming up next. But the way this schedule that I'm building is dropping, this I don't think it'll be like a few weeks before I drop this one.
July 14th, 2018, I'm planning to release my last EP. If not then, August 1st. Hold me accountable to either one of those dates.
I got you.
July, I don't have any shows to like announce just yet, but you can follow me on my social medias if you liked me. If you didn't like me, that's fine too.
Drop in the social medias.
At Christian Jalon on Twitter and Instagram, ChristianJalon. And Christian Jalon on Facebook. But who gets on Facebook anymore? My mom does. That's who.
Facebook be super busting.
You a lie.
People be on there. Like, I don't get on there often, but every time I get on there, there is people wilding on there. Older people wild out. Like, that's why I appreciate getting older.
I just told y'all his age.
It's more acceptable to wild out. Yes, I am an old young man. I got treated one day.
Old spirit.
I got treated one day for calling myself old by an elder man.
Really?
Yeah.
He basically told you, stop trying to represent what you ain't.
he was like, we all gonna be old to somebody. And then he was like, you're not old, you're just older than them.
Wow. Word to the wise.
Yeah. Because it's like, Samuel Jackson is about to be 70.
Really, bro?
See how that dropped in the background?
Cause the Samuel Jackson, that was sound effects.
And he is like Ellen DeGeneres is 60 and stuff like that. Like watching
people, she don't look 60.
Yeah, like in age.
She looks like she'd still be 40-ish.
That they've done 50-ish. A lot of stuff. Yeah. So I'm gonna end this with the Saha scripture. I'm gonna go off the cuffs for this one. I didn't write anything down, but I would like to say that when you meet people, the first thing that you should really pay attention to is their energy. Right? Now, some people, they give you a very so-so energy. And it is up to you in whatever perspective in life that you have to gauge that energy and decide to move accordingly. If you feel like someone gives you so-so energy, it is well within your rights to keep it pushing. Because sometimes so-so just means on the verge of being bad. And then so-so can also mean anxiety or something good or anxious to be somewhere. So, when it comes to energy, always pay attention to the wavelength, because then you'll end up meeting cool people, and then you'll know who to stay away from. Namaste.